No desire and interest in your prayers tonight.
The word I'd like to write, board.
This evening I'd like to consider three verses that are found in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and the 13th verse. And we will read verses 13, 14, and 15. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. And they that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." I'm impressed with these three verses this evening. I feel like that these three verses in sequence together, that they are deep, they're powerful, and they are instructive. And this evening, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to consider them. May have to revisit them sometime again in the future because of all that they contain. But I would like to give an overview of them. The 13th verse started out, and it says, "Watch ye." And I'd like to stop right there. Who was it talking to here? What did it say? Watch who? Watch yourself. Watch you. Watch me. You know, these scriptures were written a long time ago, and it can be easy sometimes to say, well, this was Paul writing to the Corinthians church, and he was. And he was speaking to them, but for some reason, God chose these letters above all other letters that were written. There were other letters written besides the ones in the scriptures. He chose these to be preserved and passed down so that we, 2,000 years, in some cases, many, many more years than that, would benefit from those. These were letters, verses, scriptures to us. And this scripture says, "Watch ye." Watch yourself. Watch you. Watch me. Meaning me, watch me. So it feels personal. And it should feel personal. It is personal. And because it's personal, and the Lord wanted me to get a hold of the scripture where he said, "Watch ye," I want to understand what he means. And so what I'd like to do first is let's understand what it means to watch. So what does watch mean? Y'all can help me again tonight. Let's write some definition on the board. What does watch mean to you?
You're kind of looking at something with studying it.
So it involves some study. Not just a glance, then. Okay? How about another one is vigilance? What else, y'all?
So I'm thinking from my experience in the military, there is a guarding. So if you put on a fire watch, you would go around making sure there's no fires, or that if there is a fire, it's not out of control. If you're on a different kind of, you know, there's all kinds of watches they may put you on, but it's intended to be that you're the eyes to protect those from whatever specific item you're watching.
Yeah, I like that one. I can relate to that one. Fire watch. What else?
Observe.
Y'all keep them coming if you think of some.
I think of being alert.
alert. Yes.
That's a disturbing thing for someone to say they're the ones watching, but they're not alert. That doesn't go together very well.
An awareness of your surroundings.
Yes, awareness. And you said of surroundings.
Watch has to do with some passage of time. In the olden times, the night was divided into several watches. That's probably one reason we call the timepieces on our wrists a watch.
Passage of time. Again, it denotes something more than a glance. There's a period of time. There's a passage of time. Anything else that comes to your mind?
I was trying to think of the right word for it. I guess it would be focus. I guess I've had this many times when you're hunting and it's just barely daylight enough. You think you see something and you really watch that area to see if you can see something move.
Focused. I thought of purposeful. Vigilance, diligence would be, I guess, another one. I don't know. How about determination, maybe? Okay, So this sounds like then that when at the very start of this verse, this is denoting when it says watch, there's a whole lot of things that are in that word. He's trying to convey before he starts these verses here, he's starting off saying, you, in other words, this is personal now, this has to do with you, not everybody else. This is you we're talking to. You need to be thinking about being vigilant. You need to be studying out this thing. Don't just give it a cursory review. Study it out. A fire watch, if you are the designated fire watch, it doesn't mean in name only. There's a reason there's a fire watch. It's because if you don't identify the spark, and a fire starts and something bad happens, you messed up. You're the fire watch. You're supposed to pick those things up so that you can react and take care of it before it turns into a problem. I like that one. Observe. You're observing. You're taking in what's going on around you. You have to be alert. None of this is going to work if you're asleep. Got to be alert. Aware of your surroundings. Again, back to the fire watch. If this fire watch just zeroing in on one area, that's it, and not looking all around, you're gonna get caught. Awareness of your surroundings. You have to be purposeful about it. You have to take it seriously. Be focused and understand that this isn't just for a moment. We are being called, dear ones, to watch throughout the course of our lives. That's the passage of time. There's other people that have responsibilities before we came along. This is our turn. This is our ninth hour, where it's our turn to go now and fulfill our responsibilities. And we're going to have to be determined about it. A lot in that word. These things don't take place by accident. And if you're gonna watch, you can't put yourself in a position and say, I'm the designated person that's gonna watch and then go crawl into a hole somewhere and be distracted by a whole bunch of other things that are going on. And we live in a world with a lot of distractions. There is a lot going on around us. And if we're not careful, we can become so consumed with all of the things that are going on around us that we fail to recognize you're the designated watch. It's your turn to watch. You need to watch for yourself. You need to watch for your children. You need to understand that how you live your life is influencing the people that are around you. It's your responsibility to watch. Back in the olden days, when they would have these walled cities, they would build watchtowers. And they would put people up in the towers that were the designated watchers. And if I was an artist, I'd make an attempt at drawing them. But they would have high places in these towers, a high place all the way around, so that they could see what was coming, what was inside, and what was going. Back to this awareness of your surroundings, not just one place, but surroundings. It's all the way around. All the way around, what is it that is going on? And they would have those watchtowers so that if danger was approaching, they would see it in time to be able to react. I mean, it doesn't do you any good if you wait until the enemy is right at your door to find out then. You didn't have a chance to fortify. You didn't have a chance to prepare. And so they would put people up there that would see that coming so that they could prepare. Brothers and sisters, this verse tonight, I believe, is instructing us, giving us an exhortation that we have a responsibility to remain awake, to remain aware, actively taking in what is coming into our lives, what is going out of our lives, what is present in our lives. And this is not going to be accomplished if we get so engrossed with the temporal things of this life that we fail to recognize the spiritual battle that's going on. There is a spiritual battle that is going on. And I am always... it's always a real caution to me and a godly fear when I read the story of the 10 virgins. The 5 were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them got to the end and all their oil had run out. And somehow they became secure maybe in the place that they were in, a false sense of security, maybe in their religion, in the knowledge of the truth that they had, but they weren't paying enough attention to what was going out of their life. They were losing their oil. The oil was going out. Folks, we have a lot of things that are coming in at us. And if we're not careful, there are things that can become part of our lives, present in our lives. And if we're not watching, if we're not being careful, if we're not vigilant, if we're not studying where we are in our walk with the Lord, if we're not being focused on it, and we just give it kind of a lackadaisical, bit of attention, there are things that can come at us that maybe we don't even recognize they're coming because we're not watching. Influences I'm talking about, that then take a hold of our lives and cause us to then live our lives according to those influences. And now we have something present in our lives. And if we're not really careful, we can normalize it. We can allow influences to come in, and maybe at first we are uncomfortable with it. But if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't study it out, if we don't recognize what it is that's going on in our life, we can normalize it as okay. It's back to Jared's illustration this morning with the line going up. If you're not really careful, pretty soon you normalize where you are, and it feels okay. And then you go a little, and then when you get off the beaten path from that line, you feel like you're just off from what you've normalized. And so you think, well, I'm just off a little bit. What's the harm in that? And then pretty soon that gets normalized. And then you go a little bit further past that. That's how the enemy works. He causes us to become familiar with things that aren't right. to where it's normalized and then pushes us into that zone. And if we're not really careful and watching what is coming in, what we are allowing to stay in our lives, there may be some things that are going out of our lives, like fire in our hearts for the Lord, our desire to please Him more than anything else. And pretty soon we start allowing our time, our attention, our focus starts to be on things that get in between the relationship that the Lord would have with us. If you let something go out, something's going to fill its spot. That's why it's really important to know if you have something going out of your life, what it is. There's some things you want to go out of your life, and you want to kick it on its way out. Get gone. But there's other things you don't want to go out of your life. And so we want to understand what those are. We don't want to just have a form of a watchtower, but nobody's in the watchtower. We want to be as Gideon's 300, where even while we are engaged in the necessary duties of life, that we're being watchful, that we haven't laid our armor down, we haven't closed our eyes, we haven't gone to sleep, but that we are being careful. All through the Scriptures, there are verses that remind us to watch. And Jesus Himself gave us several verses with a sense of urgency to watch. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Because the Spirit is willing. We know you're willing. You want to be a Christian. You want to live right. We get it. Your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Therefore, you need to watch. You need to pray. You need to be diligent. You need to do all of these things to make sure that your flesh is not the thing that ends up winning the day, but that the Spirit of God working in you. Jesus Christ said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man." Watch. Another place He said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." I don't know when the Lord's going to come, but I want to be at my post. I want to be paying attention. I want to be watching. I want to be living my life so that if my name is called suddenly in a car accident, unexpectedly, when I think I have a lot of time in front of me, and then all of a sudden it's like over right now, I want to have been watching, paying attention to where I am in my walk with the Lord, so that when He calls, I can say, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." How do we do that? How do we watch? What does that mean? Maintain a consistent and a healthy diet of reading the Word of the Lord. If you get to the place where you're not reading the Word of the Lord anymore, you're missing something. There's something that is going out, and something is going to take its place. The Lord wants to have a place in your heart. He wants to have a place in your mind that is reserved for Him, where we have a diet of reading His Word so that His Spirit can draw on what we've applied ourselves to read and understand, so that He can take it and remind us of whatsoever things I have said unto you. We quoted that verse this morning, that He sent His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father shall send in My name. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. And He uses the Word of God to do that a lot of times. If you don't apply yourself to the Word of God, it's really difficult to watch. Give yourself to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be very difficult to watch if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Put up barriers and safeguards against those things that may be the thing that doth easily beset you. We all have them. All of us have those things that easily beset us, that tempt us more than other things. Put up some barriers and safeguards. That's our responsibility to do. It's not for us to say, well, the Lord gives grace, and then we just blindly walk in to the fire that we know is there, that we know is hot, that we know will burn us. The Lord wants us to stay away from those things. Flee temptation. Keep yourself pure. That's my responsibility. The Lord will help me, but I have a responsibility to do that too. So put some distance between yourself and those things. Try the spirits. You know, sometimes we're drawn to things. But the scripture says, try the spirit and see if it be of God. Because there's a lot of false prophets out there that are doing what they can to deceive us, to try to get us to buy into things that are false. Try the spirit. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together with believers. The scripture said, as the manner of some is, especially as you see that day approaching. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If we want to be diligent and we want to watch and we want to be prepared and we want to know what to look for, the Lord has set up different avenues, some of these things that we've just mentioned tonight, to help us watch and be on guard. And coming to service, hearing the word of the Lord, being in His presence, singing the songs, getting away from all the influences of the world and drawing our minds and hearts in and lifting up to the Lord and asking Him to help us is important. The next verse says to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, not the next verse, the next phrase. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. And I hear in my mind these words being said with energy, with a sense of purpose, not passive, a little drowsy, kind of asleep. Watch. I mean, stand fast. Quit you like men if you have time. Be strong if you're of a mind to. No, that's not what it says. I hear this verse being said with purpose. Stand fast. Watch. Quit you like men. Be strong in the faith. This is important. It's imperative for us tonight to be spiritually mature men and women in the Lord that are not tossed to and fro by every wind and influence that comes along to move us from where we are. The scripture is be strong. Stand fast in the faith, regardless of what comes, regardless of who goes. Did you know that we don't want to be looking to man as the one that we have all of our hope and trust in? And then when they fail and they fall down and they go away from the Lord, our experience goes with it. Stand fast in Jesus Christ. Look to Him for your strength. Don't be tossed to and fro by all the influences that will come against us, because they will. We are called to internalize the Word of God. We're called to receive His Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives, that we might be fortified and strong and taught and instructed by Jesus Christ, His Word and His Spirit, that we're able to discern what it is that's coming our way. That we are able to have our eyes open to those things that are present in our lives that may be doing us harm. And that we are awake to those things that may be leaving our lives, such as the oil of the Holy Spirit. That when the Lord comes, He will find us standing, strong, unmovable, steadfast, abounding in His work. Folks, be inflexible when it comes to our allegiance to the Lord. But how should we be inflexible? How should we be inflexible?
I don't want to conclude without saying this. Watch with love.
That is on the end of these verses that we read. Watch. I mean, put yourself here in the one that has this burden to communicate this verse, watch ye, stand fast, be strong, have faith, don't be immovable, and let all your things be done with charity. That is stirring when you think about all. Let all your things be done with charity. Watch with charity. Be strong with love. Be inflexible in your allegiance to Jesus Christ, but with love. Why does it seem like that people, human beings, we can be so quick to criticize other people? We can be so quick to be judgmental of other people. Why is it that human beings, it seems like, sometimes we feel like bringing other people down to size somehow elevates us? It doesn't work that way. When we're critical and we're judgmental with other people, and we're assigning motives that we really don't understand what the motives are, but we're there quick to do it. And somehow, sometimes we feel like that makes us holier or something. And it doesn't. This scripture instructs us to be strong, but do all things, it says, with charity. So beware of the deception of the enemy. The enemy may not be able to come and get us to lie and to steal and to cheat. He may not be able to tempt us with that. But he might be able to get us to be tempted to have a little bit holier than thou spirit and outlook. One of the scriptures says in the first chapter of Romans, not to hold truth in unrighteousness. He was speaking of people that held truth in unrighteousness. And when you look at the definition and of those words, it also means those that hindered truth by their unrighteousness. And I'm good with that too. But I also like the way that it just plainly says, it's talking about the wrath of God that would against those that hold truth in unrighteousness. That's what the scripture says. Talking about the wrath of God that against those that hold truth in unrighteousness. And have you ever seen somebody that seems to hold truth? They get a hold of something, whatever it is, a doctrine that they begin to elevate, and they hold it in an unrighteous manner. You ever seen that? Did you know that we can be modest in a very proud way? I remember somebody out in the world one time, I ran across them, and they were talking about a religious person, and they said, that's the proudest man I ever saw. And she was talking about a preacher. I don't want to hold truth in unrighteousness. We can be just as carnal and just as proud while we're endeavoring to be modest, while we don't go to certain places, while we hold to certain things, and we can begin to start feeling like we're something by doing that, and then we look down on other people and we hold it in a way that's not becoming to Christ. We're not showing love. Have you ever heard the exhortation that, you know, people can't hear what you're saying because they can't get through your presentation? Sometimes we can be trying to tell somebody the truth about something, and we might be exactly right in what we're saying, but people can't ever get to the content of what we're saying because they can't get through our presentation. Because we're carnal, we're not demonstrating love, and they see all of that first and they can't get to the truth of what it is that maybe we're saying. So may God help us tonight. That we would watch and stand fast and be strong, but do it with love. And then lastly, as we conclude, and I'll just say this, if love goes away, just like the scripture says, it's like we're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise. There's not a lot of substance or content to it. So if you want to be a light to the world, you have to have love as a foundation to everything that you present. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. This last verse says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, listen to this, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Did you always think that addictions were all bad? This really got my attention. They addicted themselves. It was like they made a purposeful decision. They made a decision. We are going to addict ourselves. A lot of times people get addicted without meaning to. They get pulled into it. And then pretty soon, before they know it, they're addicted to it. This scripture said that they addicted themselves. They gave themselves. They willingly gave themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so tonight, may God help us as we live our lives, that we would addict ourselves to being watchful, to being careful, unmovable, strong, in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ in all that we do. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.